Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the honourable captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
They hit the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who are wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To get a flexion! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Today I'm delighted to welcome along as we continue our build-up to the Scottish Cup final. 1991 Motherwell legend, Ali Maxwell. Ali, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And obviously you are joining us at an unearthly hour as well. Most of us would be tucked up in our beds, but you're here to talk about Motherwell. And first and foremost, it's brilliant to have you on when we're talking about a positive season, a positive run and second cup final this season. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, I've followed it. I think the players and the coaching staff have got to be proud of themselves. I think Stephen said it after the Partick Thistle game that's the most clean sheets that they've had in the club's history almost. So, you know, that's a huge base to build from. And, you know, if you're not conceding goals and you're difficult to beat, you know, it's probably one of the main reasons why they've done so well this year.
And you look back in 91 and an incredible achievement to go all the way to the Scottish Cup final, even greater achievement to go on and win it. But reaching two domestic cup finals in the one season, it's almost unheard of, certainly at a club of Motherwell's stature. Yes, the league season perhaps fell short of expectation in terms of not making the top six, but I think as supporters we feel that we've been more than appeased by the runs to the cup finals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of ways of looking at it. One is sometimes when you get success in the cups that you can forgive the players for maybe not really overly concentrated on the league. When you've got cup quarterfinals, cup semifinals, and cup finals, you know, we've seen with a lot of the English Premier League clubs that have been involved in multiple competitions at the same time that you sometimes get a little dip in the league results because of the focus maybe on the cups.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stephen Robinson hasn't tinkered with his team quite as much as you would maybe expect from a manager preparing for a cup final, although there was the big setback last weekend when St Johnstone came to Fir Park and won convincingly 5-1. That will have come as a blow, but then 3 days later, a trip to Fir Hill, a place that's traditionally very difficult for Motherwell to come away with a positive result. It was the first win since December 2013 there on Tuesday night. Again, a big boost. And I look back in the games prior to the 91 final, the players certainly didn't switch off there. The 3-0 victory against Rangers obviously standing out from the results prior to that final. How hard is it to go into these league games, which mean very little in the grand scheme of things, when there's a cup final on the horizon?
Well, for us, it was actually quite easy because, as you quite rightly said, we had some great results leading up to the cup final. And I think it's very important that you're on a good run of form. I think it is important that you're playing well, not only the team, but obviously individually as well. And, you know, if there's any advice I could give to those players, would be this. You've got your place in the Scottish Cup final, your place and potential history is going to be dependent on how you play in the league. If you're not doing your job in the league, then possibly the manager might just not pick you for the Cup final. So I think using it mentally to the players that, hey, your place in the Scottish Cup final next week is at stake. So make sure you're performing in the league to make sure that the manager picks you. And I think that would be, for me, the focus for these players. You know, you've got Motherwell fans that are going to be there in the thousands next Saturday. You know, and I'm the first person to say I'm desperate for them to win. And going into the game on a good run of form and performing well and not conceding goals is going to be hugely important.
The other side of it is there's a few young guys, Barry Maguire, David Turnbull, came into the side over the last couple of games. Both have fared well, Turnbull especially against Partick Thistle. That also brings these guys into the reckoning, doesn't it? They get their opportunities, they grasp them with both hands, and then Stephen Robinson's got a selection dilemma of a good type ahead of him as well. He's got to consider whether these guys have done enough to challenge the regulars in the team. So there's a bit of pressure on the more experienced guys, I suppose, because there's people on the sidelines chapping at the bit to be given that opportunity and to show what they can do when they get that opportunity.
I think, and I honestly think that it's very important that these young players get that experience as well, because, you know, as I said earlier, you know, if you want to play next weekend, you've got to prove to the manager that you're good enough and that you deserve a spot on that pitch next week. But, you know, like say, with Turnbull, that's unbelievably important, because we had young players in our squad when we won it as well. I think Phil O'Donnell was, I can't remember what age Phil was, but I think he was maybe 18, you know, when we played Dundee United in the Cup final. So, you know, sometimes youth doesn't have the nerves. You know, sometimes they're just so young that they just want to play. And that could be a good thing for the manager, but it's obviously, as you say, a very difficult decision for him to make. You know, whether he goes with experience or whether he goes with players that are playing well, and you know, it's a good headache for the manager to be able to say, well, you know what, this kid could come in and do a good job.
I spoke yesterday to Stephen Hamill and talked about the 2011 Cup final, the Scottish Cup, and the 2005 League Cup final. And we're discussing the implications of extra media attention, extra demands on players and staff ahead of a final. How different did you find that week prior to 91? I know that obviously there wasn't the online media demands and perhaps the technology wasn't there. We're not talking about a million years ago. I know that maybe sounds slightly disrespectful, but the... obviously, the media has changed, but the demands were still intense, I would imagine, and that would be different from a build-up to a run-of-the-mill game, if you will.
Yeah, and I think this is where the coaching staff have to step in and get involved and make sure that they are managing the players' time. You know, as you said, back in 91, we had a media day, basically, where the media came in and we, you know, we got all the interviews and stuff like that. We got it done basically on the one day. You know, but at the end of the day, I think you can't hide from the media because the media is a huge part of it. You know, and I think that Stephen's got to realise that, hey, some of these younger players might need a little bit of help in the fact that they might need to just sort of put an umbrella over them a little bit and not allow them to get too excited to the point where they start saying stuff that maybe, you know, the manager doesn't really want them saying. You know, like one of the most difficult questions answer is, how confident are you that you're going to win on Saturday? Well, you know, if you say, oh, I'm so confident we can beat Celtic, then all of a sudden that's going to go down in a newspaper headline that player A says that they're going to win on Saturday, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden the manager's like, whoa, you know, we're the underdogs, probably, next Saturday. You know, let's keep it that way. Let's not give any ammunition for the other players. Let's not give any ammunition for the, you know, the manager to put up a big sign on their dressing room to say, look what this kid's saying about us, you know, let's prove him wrong type thing. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure the manager will have them, you know, even to the point where if I was, you know, I know he's done it before, take the phones off them and just say, hey, iPads, phones, nobody speaking to anybody unless it's with my prior permission. So, but again, you can't help the players from being excited. You can't help the players from being desperate for next Saturday to roll around and to get started with the game, because ultimately that's what they'll be nervous about. They'll be desperate for the game to come around.
And that being said, the prospect of maybe banning social media or banning mobile phones, is there an element that the manager has to keep a sense of normality and not get the players too revved up in the build-up? I know we're 9 days removed. Also got to bear in mind that Hamilton are the visitors, albeit Hamilton now have secured their safety, so they won't have as much to play for. But there's always that edge to a Lancashire derby. You don't want the players going full throttle and risking injuring themselves and ruling themselves out through just kind of too much enthusiasm and too much adrenaline.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go telling the Motherwell fans that there's nothing really much to play for on Saturday. I can assure you that they're not going to be happy if we lose to Hamilton on Saturday. And the other aspect of it is you don't want to be going into a cup final having just lost, especially to your local rivals. You want to put in a really good performance. Another aspect to the injury part is, if you start playing soft, if you start going into tackles where, oh, I might get hurt, trust me, you're going to get hurt. You know, my advice to players were, go and play your hearts out. We beat Rangers 3-0 at Fir Park the week before the cup final. So, you know, you could have said the same thing, well, don't get injured. Well, you know, trust me, you start saying things like that, you are going to pick up injuries. So I think Saturday's very, very, very important. To the point you brought up earlier about these young guys, if they want a place in the squad, you know, and they put in a good performance against Hamilton on Saturday, then, as you said before, the manager's going to have a real problem of who to pick for the cup final. So I think Saturday's hugely important for us. And not only that, you know, I guess the result the other night made sure that Hamilton Accies stayed up. So, you know, their players potentially could be coming to Fir Park with a freedom of, hey, the relegation umbrella is not over us now, so they might come and play freely and want to try and end the season with a victory against us, which I don't think our fans are going to like at all.
No, certainly I think the St Johnstone game came as a bit of a wake-up call, if you will, that if the levels do drop, that's what happens. The squad have, and I hate the term, punched above their weight, but I guess it does ring true with the two cup finals, narrowly missing out in the top six in what is a extremely competitive league. The Accies game serves as almost a preview of what comes ahead in the next week. The manager has made slight changes to the team, perhaps rested a few players that have had a niggle or two. He's also maybe looking towards avoiding suspensions, giving guys a wee bit of game time that perhaps haven't had as much over the course of the season as they maybe would have liked. Would you, if you were in Stephen Robinson's shoes, be looking to set out your team almost as close to the starting 11 the week prior on Saturday, or would you be continuing to perhaps offer guys like David Turnbull, Barry Maguire game time and give them the chance to put themselves in the shop window and put themselves in line for selection?
it's a very difficult decision for the manager. As you say, if you know, a player has got an injury or is not completely 100%, I think you can still play him, but maybe you limit his minutes. We'll see that. You see that a lot throughout the world, where managers will bring a player off with half an hour to go, and do it that way rather than let them play 90 minutes. So I think he's just got to manage the playing time minutes of players that might be carrying an injury. So that's a very difficult decision, and I'm not in Stephen's shoes, thank goodness, you know, because, you know, he's the one that's paid to make those type of tough decisions, and he's experienced enough to know. And I think he'll already know what his preferred lineup would be against Celtic. But it's as you say, it's how you manage those players through what could be a very, very competitive game on Saturday against Hamilton. I just hope that the players on both sides of the line on Saturday play the game the way it should be played. Last thing we want as a club is picking up a stupid injury because of a stupid tackle. I think Stephen will know probably 90% of what his lineup's going to be. I'm sure he's not going to let you guys know. I'm sure he's not going to let Brendan Rodgers know what lineup he's going to go with. But I think that the media could probably have a good chance of picking the starting lineup. You know, there might be the odd surprise, but again, that could be tactical. It could be because of an injury. So, you know, that's his decision, and you know, I'm sure he'll make the right call. But the one thing I'd like to congratulate the players on is that when you lose a game as heavily as they lost to St Johnstone, especially at Fir Park, great credit to them to turn around and bounce back. That's a sign of a good team. You pick up a bad result like that, you just get on the training field, you work hard, and you turn around and, you know, you get a positive result the next time out. And I think that's, you know, great credit to the staff and the players. So I was delighted with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on top of that, a Partick Thistle team that are fighting for their lives, they had everything to play for on Tuesday night. And Motherwell went toe-to-toe with them, matched them, and got the better of them. So it was a very impressive way to bounce back. I must confess, I was a wee bit demoralised after last weekend's defeat, because it was so emphatic, and it wasn't one of these. As much as it was a freak result, it was very hard to argue that St Johnstone deserved anything less. They really battered us, and the defence and players across the park actually just having off days when you've not seen them have off days for a while. And I suppose some days when it can go wrong, and it can just go wrong spectacularly. But
great. Well, the last time I was back, or it might have been the time before, St Johnstone came to Fir Park, and I was at the game, and St Johnstone beat us 2-1. And I was very impressed with them. So it might just be that St Johnstone's got a bit of a hoodoo over us right now. You know, sometimes you go through periods in time where a specific team you struggle against for whatever reason. You know, so hopefully the players can just put that down to, okay, for whatever reason, St Johnstone's got the better of us right now. But as you can see by the league, you know, everybody was beating each other. So it's the one concern that I had against the Partick Thistle was, according to the stats anyway, they had 6 way more shots on goal than we did. I think we had 2 shots on goal and obviously scored. They had 6 shots on target and didn't score. So, you know, especially when you're going into a final against Celtic, who are prolific goal scorers, you don't want to be offering them too many chances. So, you know, keeping that clean sheet is at Firhill was awesome. And hopefully they can keep another clean sheet on Saturday going into the final, being very difficult to beat, which would be very important.
Yeah, we certainly did come under the cosh, particularly in the last 10-15 minutes of the game. 19 clean sheets over the course of the season, Ali, that's a fantastic stat, a club record, and as a goalkeeper it must be the kind of thing that you look out for, and certainly something that grabs your attention.
Yeah, when we played in 91, I had Chris McCart, I had Tom Boyd, and Craig Patterson, Luke Nyholt. They desperately wanted clean sheets. So there was nothing about, oh yeah, we won today. It was, oh hey, we won today and we kept a clean sheet. So even the defenders take great pride in getting clean sheets, and obviously the goalkeeper, the back four, the holding midfield players have got to take great credit for that as well, as obviously, you know, the goalkeeper Carson keeping the ball out of the net, which is going to be hugely important on Saturday as well, going into next Saturday. So great credit to the players, great credit for the way the coaching staff set up the team, and I'm desperate for them to keep a clean sheet on a week on Saturday. So I'll be, I'm kind of nervous for them a little bit, but I'm also very excited for them. I'm desperate for them to win. It's not that I don't want to keep doing podcasts with you talking about the cup final in 1991, but I think we're all ready for a new bunch of heroes. Obviously, we'll never forget the 1991 cup final win, but at the same time, I think the club deserve to be in the final again. I just hope that they get the little bit of luck that you sometimes need in a cup run. You need the decisions to go your way. And hopefully, I'll be going back to Fir Park to celebrate the cup, because, as you know, I didn't get to go to Fir Park after the game last time around because I was actually in hospital. So it would be very nice if I could come back to Fir Park and applaud the players and the staff. And, the only time I'm going to get my hands on the Scottish Cup will be on Saturday before the game. I've been asked to carry the cup out before the game to present it to the fans, which is a real honour for me. Hopefully the rest of the players will be able to get their hands on the trophy after the game. So I'm excited for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fantastic as well. We'll certainly be sure to give you a good ovation, and that will be a very special moment for you and your family. Just a final one on the current side and Stephen Robinson, who we've mentioned in different forums over the course of the first 20 minutes or so. Stephen came in after troubled times under Matt McGee. He kept the team up, made wholesale changes over the summer, and has really spurred this team on to fantastic things. How impressed have you been by Stephen Robinson, who perhaps to someone like yourself who had last seen the team under Mark McGee was a bit of a relative unknown, he's come in and made such a big impact, hasn't he?
I think every club starts with obviously the chairman, but the manager is a special breed. He's got to bring in his own players, obviously. He's got to instill that ethic, work ethic. He's got to instill that will to win. He's got to instill the passion that the fans deserve. And it's not just Stephen, it's obviously the rest of his coaching staff as well. It's important that the players respect. They don't have to like Stephen. Many of us at times didn't get on that great with Tommy McLean, but we still respected him. We still respected Tam Forsai. We still respected the club and the fans. You don't have to always agree with what the manager says, but you still have to play for him. You still have to play for the fans. And I think he's got that mentality and he's got that persona about him that the players do respect him. And I think the results this year have shown how much the players respect him with the type of results that they've had, and not only that, getting into two cup finals. So he's hugely, hugely important. He's done a great job. I applaud him. And I just hope that, you know, it's been a great season, and I just hope that he can just pull out a couple of little surprises that may catch Celtic out. And that's the difficult job about being a manager. So I'm sure him and the rest of his staff have got the players ready. And I hope they get through the next week without any silly injuries and they're good to go.
And there's no getting away how good a Celtic team are. The treble winners last year, all the talk in the press here is revolving around the double treble. And of course Celtic are on the brink of achieving just that. That being said, the focus on the double treble, they certainly haven't been the invincibles that they were last season. Do you think, as a dressing room, you perhaps just soak up Celtic talking about the prospect of completing the treble this season and the historic double treble, and let them almost do the talking? No one outside the four walls of Fir Park and the supporters are really giving Motherwell much of a chance here. Does that kind of give you that extra determination and spur you on?
Well, I'm certainly not soaking up all the talk about the double treble winning and stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure the rest of the players and the fans are not soaking up the chit chat about, you know, the thing about it is they haven't won the double treble. And when we played, we had absolutely no fear of Rangers or Celtic or Aberdeen or anybody else for that matter. We respected the opposition. Celtic obviously deserved the respect because they have been playing really well and they have been pretty dominant over the last couple of seasons. But at the end of the day, they haven't won anything. And our players just let them do their chit-chat. And as I said earlier, I'm sure Stephen will probably put some stuff up in the dressing room walls and say, look what these guys think they're going to do. What are you going to, just step back and let them run over the top of you? Or are you going to go out there, respect them, but play them? Don't be afraid of them. You know, it's 11v11. Anything can happen on the day. Hopefully you get a couple of decisions that go your way. Hopefully you get a little bit of luck. And again, the players have to earn their own luck with good performances and hopefully no silly mistakes. And then there will be no more talk about double trebles. So, you know, I think the important thing is that the players concentrate on their own job and don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about what anyone else is saying. I call it the control the controllables speech. You know, we can control how hard we work in the game. We can control our passing. We can control everything that we do tactically. We can control everything in our power. We can't really control what other people are saying or other people are doing, and just concentrate on being Motherwell. And what a great achievement it would be for Motherwell to say, you know what, okay, they deserve a little bit of credit, but you know what, we're not going to give them credit. We're going to see if we can take that trophy away from them, and then there will be no more talk of double trebles. So I couldn't care less about talk about double trebles. I'm only interested in Motherwell. I'm only hoping that Motherwell play well and Motherwell win. I'm not really interested in what Celtic are doing or even Celtic are saying. And I think that's important that the players realise, don't listen to what's going on, just concentrate on your own game.
Absolutely. You've already mentioned the different role you'll have in this cup final as compared to 1991. Obviously, stark differences, but the first and foremost, a rather large trip ahead of you next Friday or next Thursday to travel across the world to see the boys in Claret and Amber hopefully lift the cup. That must be a very exciting thing for you to do, and I believe it's a bit of a whirlwind tour you're doing as well.
Yeah, it's my dad's going to be 80 on July the 6th, and my dad's been a diehard Motherwell fan his whole life. He was the one that started taking me to the games when I was little. Used to lift me over the turnstiles and stuff like that. You know, so it was one where my brother didn't think I would be able to come back for the cup final. But of all the weekends in May that I had nothing going on with work, was this weekend. The first two weekends in May, I was just absolute 365-day-a-year type job, and then all of a sudden this weekend opened up, and you know, we took it as an omen, and my wife Jessica was, you're going back whether you like it or not, and you know, we made the decision pretty soon once we found out they were in the final and they were coming back. So we fly out of Phoenix on Thursday, we arrive in Glasgow on Friday morning, got to go up to the Exiles, I'm delighted to go up to the Exiles shindig at Fir Park on Friday afternoon, then I've got a couple of interviews on Friday evening, and then got to be at Hampden pretty early on Saturday for some more media stuff. But it's I'm delighted to do it. I just hope it's worth the trip. But that's it. Again, that's out with my control. But I would do nothing but wish the staff and the lads the best of luck. And hopefully the whirlwind trip, leaving on Sunday after the game, hopefully it'll be a happy one.
Tell us a bit more about the role with the Exiles Club, with the Welsh Society. The Welsh Society have done a fantastic job in promoting themselves and really bringing the fans and the club closer together in recent times. Having you involved and someone that I've got to know fairly well through the podcast is just seems like another massive positive for me. It must be a real privilege for yourself, though, being able to almost head up the Exiles. There'll be Motherwell supporters coming from all ends of the world for the game on the 19th of May, and to get to mingle with them all and be the face of the organisation as such must be a huge honour.
Oh, it's a massive honour. I had no hesitation when I was asked to get involved. I had absolutely no hesitation. It was fantastic. And as you say, back in the 90s, the social media part of it was very rare. And obviously to try and contact people all over the world, you know, was a very difficult thing. But I'm, you know, absolutely ecstatic that there's so many people from, we've got people coming from Europe, obviously, we've got people coming from Australia, I'm coming from Arizona. I think it just shows the level of love that these people still have for what is a very small club, but it's a very important club in our hearts, very important club in our lives, and it's something that I'm excited to do. Anybody that wants to come to Phoenix and, you know, have a good time with us, we'll look after you. Make sure you bring your sunscreen. But we're going to hopefully do, or I would like to do, some Facebook Live stuff from the event for those people that maybe can't get back, and hopefully bring them a little bit closer to the game as well. And you know, the importance of allowing these people to meet each other, I think, is very important, and put a face to the voice, so to speak, which is why I don't have the camera on right now, because it's 7 o'clock in the morning in Phoenix and I'm still having my first cup of coffee. So, but it will be nice to see everyone. I think I land at 11:15 in the morning, and the reception thing starts at 1 o'clock, so I'm going to have to hightail it. So, if anybody at Glasgow Airport is listening to this, could you just let me usher through? Could you just get me through customs and let me get to this thing as quick as possible? So, yeah, it's a great honour, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody that's come back, and hear how they're all doing in different stages of the world and what they're up to. I think it's very important. But again, a tremendous pat on the back to all these people that are coming back for the game, and hopefully it'll be worthwhile for them. I'm sure it will be.
And I know that sometimes when you're discussing events like this, you can get a bit over romantic about the circumstances behind it, but for myself personally, I'm really looking forward to a real family day out and being with close friends and watching the team that I love in a major final. It's a very special occasion, and there's so many of the 12,000 Muddle supporters that will be there on the day are going to be sharing it with close friends, close family. You're obviously travelling across with your wife. These events are really special and ones that we will treasure for many years to come.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Jessica keeps reminding me she's not travelling with me, I'm travelling with her. So it's got to give the boss the plaudits here. She's the one that's, to be fair, I've got so much love and admiration for her, because she's the one that's keeping everything in order for me so that I can still be doing my job right now and making sure that I'm all set up with the, shall we say, the Motherwell attire for when I come back. So hopefully I'll have as much claret and amber on as I can possibly find. So I'm sure I'll have my Motherwell tie on, and I'm going to have a nice maroon blazer on. I'm going to be decked out to support the lads, and it's just something that's, it really, well, our final was called the family final for obvious reasons, with it being Jim McLean and Tommy McLean, and obviously they both lost their mother you know, the week of the cup final, and it was nicknamed the family final. But the wonderful thing about Motherwell is everybody knows each other. It really is a tight-knit community. It really is a tight-knit club. It is a family club. Every time I come back to Firth Park, I always get an amazing reception from the people that are working on the field, or the people that are working in the Firth Park club, whether it's the doorman, whether it's the manager, the staff. I always get people in the office, I always get a great welcome, and I'm always, you know, made to feel at home, which is fantastic, and I always get a great reception, except for the time where the under-20s walked past me and not one of them knew who I was, but that's okay, don't mind. You know, so I've always had a great reception when I go back to Firth Park, and just delighted to be a part, just a very small part of it, but delighted to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I talked about the possibility of getting over emotional and over romanticised about the occasion. You really caught the hearts of so many with your recent post on social media regarding the 91 victory. Those that you shared that moment with that are no longer with us, they'll obviously be at the forefront of our minds as well. Of course, it's absolutely tragic that we won't be there a week on Saturday, but it's a real opportunity again to come together and honour these guys.
Absolutely. The you know, I'm going to be, I'm not going to say what it is just yet, but I'm going to be wearing something to remember those guys. So yeah, it'll be emotional, because there's not a time that we talk about that cup final or talk about Motherwell without talking about Paul and Jamie and Phil and Davey. We'll never ever forget them, and so I'm going to be wearing something on my suit that honours them and cherish their memory. But yeah, it's always the only tears I'm interested in are the tears of joy when we win, you know. So yeah, we'll have a great time before it, but you know, I just would love to shed a little tear with a victory. And I'm pretty sure those lads will be, wherever they are, they'll be watching over us, and I'm sure they'll be wishing the boys the best of luck as well, and I'm sure they'll be willing us on And if Phil, if you're listening, you better be praying for Motherwell to win. So, but yeah, we'll never forget those guys taken away from us all far too early. And, you know, our love goes out to their families, obviously, that are still here. And just to know that we'll never forget them.
The recent podcast event where we're voted for the top 25 post-war Motherwell players, David Cooper named Motherwell's greatest post-war player, and it was lovely to share some words with Davey's dad and also with you, just getting some of the stories from your time together. It was really touching, and that also brings me on to congratulate yourself on being voted into the top 25 as well. We'll be sure to get you your award when you're in Scotland next week. Again, it's clear how much Motherwell Football Club means to you. To get that recognition from the fans, how much you meant to them, must be an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I mean, the Motherwell fans have been nothing but, you know, fantastic to me. They're the, you know, they're the type of core fans that, through thick and thin, stick with the players. Very rarely did I ever have to listen to Motherwell fans boo players. They were always very supportive. Yeah, obviously we had our good games and our bad games, but they stuck with us. They're still, you know, still at the club. I've got many, many friends that are fans of the club that are still going week in, week out. It's the same faces that I see when I come back, which is great. It's great to see so many young faces as well. Remember the last time we won the Cup, which was 28 years ago, probably half of the supporters weren't even born at that point in time. So, you know, for those guys that didn't get to see that Cup final, you know, it was a privilege to play for the Motherwell fans. It's a privilege to watch how loyal they are, and I think this season has paid them back a little bit for all their love and support that they've given the club. And I'm just hoping for the fans. I really am hoping for the fans that the guys can do it, because the fans deserve it. And it's going to be a very, very important day for them. I hope they have a fantastic time. I'm sure they will. Hopefully we can all get together at Fir Park after the game, and it'll be for the right reasons.
Ali, I think that's an absolutely perfect and poignant way to finish things. I wish you and your wife a very safe trip across. I look forward to seeing you in Motherwell before the Cup final. Have a fantastic day on the 19th of May, and let's hope that we're all shedding not just a small tear, but floods of them. It feels
exactly
when the
yeah, I listen. I have no problem crying. I can tell you that.
Oh no, I'm getting teary just actually. You're talking about the prospect of winning the Cup, so that's that's where we're currently at just now.
Yeah. So hopefully, when we win, I'm going a slight detour to Fir Park. I'm going to go via the hospital. I'm going to take a photograph outside the hospital, which says, "Not today," and then head up to Fir Park.
Well, just as long as you've got transport sorted, then we're all good, because unfortunately I'm in strike.
Oh, hey, listen, don't you worry about that. My brother's got that all sorted out. He's going to be my chauffeur for the day. So, you know, so I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to the fans. And if I could just do a little shout out to my brother, David. It's his birthday today, May 10th. So happy birthday, David. And I'll see you next week, buddy.
Yeah, happy birthday, David. And Ali, again, thank you very much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you again.
Okay, thanks. Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.